Wow, well, that's one of those pieces of music that, you know, like a thin veneer of glass or something like that. You kind of have to let it breathe at the very end. We heard a track from the album Avalon Sutra, Three Faces West, and that is music of Harold Budd. I've been talking about Harold Budd coming to Toledo, coming to the Toledo Museum of Art. And actually, he is, believe it or not, sitting across from me now here in the studio. And I want to welcome you, sir, to FM 91.
I'm very, very pleased to be here, believe me.
So you have never been to Ohio before, is that true?
Absolutely true.
Yeah, it's so great to have you here.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you maybe to move in just a little bit closer to your microphone there.
Of course.
There we go. It's a little bit better. Harold Budd, if you don't know, has had a, you know, for lack of a better word, a legendary career. Over five decades, over 40 albums, incredible collaborations with Brian Eno, Cocteau Twins, the list goes on and on. I have a couple of other gentlemen here with me who can speak much more eloquently about the art and artistry of Harold Budd, and that would be Scott Boberg, who is here from Toledo Museum of Art. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you, Brad.
You've been here a few times in the past.
It's always great to be here.
And Kurt Doles from Bowling Green State University. Welcome to you, Kurt.
Hey, Brad.
And now, Kurt got here first, and we were waiting for Mr. Budd, and Kurt was nervously moving around back and forth, unable to sit down or settle down, and basically just fanboying because he had never met Harold Budd before, but... like you, Scott, has had this long-term association with his music and long-term listening and immersing yourself in his music. So how does it feel to be sitting in the room with Harold Budd?
Feels great.
Mr. Budd, how does it feel to be sitting in the room with these two gentlemen?
Please call me Harold.
Okay. Well, I wanted to have your permission first, so now I have your permission to do that. That's great.
Oh, these are great guys.
Yeah. Now, you've been in... when did you get to Toledo?
Last night.
You've been to the museum, I take it.
Yes, just today. Yeah.
Can you give us your first impressions?
I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah. In a good way.
Oh, yes. I've never come across a museum that was quite anything like this.
Yeah.
And I'm totally impressed.
Well, those are... pretty impressive words coming from you. Scott, you want to talk a little bit about what's happening with the residency here? There's a world premiere happening. There's going to be music. There's going to be talking. There's going to be, of course, a lot of art involved. Can you give us a rundown?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just a single concert experience on Saturday, although that is part of it. It really is multi-day. In a sense, the residency starts today with Harold's time in the museum and leading to tomorrow morning. And
yeah, but we're not all invited to his time in the museum, though, right?
Well, you will be, I think, in extension. I think the experience kind of radiates from there. So in a way, you are. We do invite everyone to come to Bowling Green tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., and I'll have Kurt talk more about the master class, but you know, working with the students and the faculty, and it's open to the public. Then some more time in the museum rehearsing in the peristyle for Saturday night. More time in the galleries, and then Saturday is a performance. The concert starts at 8, but Harold is doing a 6:30 pre-concert talk.
To talk
about, well, whatever he wants to talk about, but I think part of the idea is to show some of the images of painting that inspired one of the world premieres that will be Saturday night, and concert. We're excited about that. And then coming back to the museum galleries on Sunday at 3 p.m. in what we call Gallery 1, mm-hmm. where we've brought together two paintings, a Mark Rothko painting with a painting by the great woman artist Agnes Martin.
Yeah.
And they are now side by side.
Both of whom have inspired Harold's music, obviously.
That's right. And so there'll be a continued conversation. That currently, we're happy to say, is at capacity, but we're happy to set up additional chairs in an adjacent space so people can be there and listen in, and we're excited about it. So that's really the run of the residency now through Sunday.
Well, in the Saturday evening concert, you will be performing as well, right?
I will.
Yeah, so you'll be performing on the piano, along with some other instrumentalists from the Toledo area as well.
Yes, that's right. Mostly string players, and including a full-on string quartet.
Yeah, well, we look forward to that so much. I want to talk briefly about the masterclass that's happening at Bowling Green State University, and maybe we can use that as a way to sort of segue into a conversation about your music in general, Harold. Kurt, do you want to talk about that masterclass?
Yes, we'll have a, I think to call it a masterclass is, I don't know, nobody's going to be showing you music. I think we're just going to structure it as a conversation for the students and mm-hmm. the community. We have such a long, rich tradition of contemporary music at BGSU. It's really, whenever we can bring in someone like Harold, not that there are many people like Harold, but you know, very accomplished musicians with a very unique voice and unique worldview. That's always a great benefit to our students, and I'm happy we can open this up to the public.
Yeah,
but we'll mic up and have a talk and take some questions from students and attendees.
Well, Harold, do you have in mind what you would like to say to the students, or does it all depend on who you're interacting with?
Right, and totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Kind of like your music, I would say. I've heard you say in interviews that your music is influenced very much by your collaborators. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I certainly would. For example, when I agree, first of all, I have to really like who I collaborate with, and they, and invariably yeah. they're friends,
yeah,
and remain friends for the duration. And I, in every case, I learn so much from them that I feel like I'm robbing. You know what I mean? That yeah. I'm snitching from, I'm pilfering their purse. Really, I do. Andy Partridge, for example, just sitting in the studio and reacting to what he wants, needs, is an amazing experience.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about, I know you had this print conversation, this interview with Scott, and there were some really interesting things that I read in that interview with you.
Yeah.
One of the things that stuck out to me was the idea of titles and how sometimes just a simple title will come to you and then you can build the music around a title.
Well, that's absolutely true. I'm inspired by visions that the title generates in my own imagination.
Mm.
And they're very, very strong. And sometimes I live with them for years.
Really?
This no joke. And sometimes I live with them because I'm in panic and I have to come up with titles right now.
Do you have a little black book of titles written down somewhere?
I used to for years, but it's all gone now.
It's all gone in the sense that you used them up, or
no, I
have been lost to history.
They're lost.
Wow.
Yeah, I have no idea where they are.
Yeah. What was the title that came out in that interview that you did? I'd have to look it up here, but there was a fun one that you said.
That would be Desert Train Whistles.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
And Billy's Dracula.
Yes, okay.
How do you come up with a title like that?
Well, I improvised that in a email to Daniel Lentz, my compadre, composer compadre in yeah. Santa Barbara. And somebody has suggested to me that my concert program was short. And I thought, oh God, this can't be. Well, I better write something else. And so Daniel said, there's no such thing as a too short program. And I thought to myself, well, he's probably right, but maybe I will write another piece, Dan, and I'm going to call it Desert Train Whistles. And Billy's Dracula. And that's it.
Yeah.
So I wrote the damn thing.
We can say damn on the radio. That's okay. We'll have to draw the line at damn, though. That'll be about it. But looking at the instrumentation, and Scott noticed this in the interview as well, it's a really really interesting combination of instruments. You've got viola, chimes, and a Fender Rhodes piano.
That's right.
I mean, was that part and parcel of the images that were in your mind from the title?
Yes, it did. It did. And it was likewise improvised at the moment.
Mm.
That, well, if I'm going to write this piece... This is what I'm going to write it for.
Yeah,
and I did. And having started it, I sat around for days and saying, "What in the hell have I done to myself?"
Well, it's interesting to hear you say that you have your title and you gather your tools around you in the sense that you decide what the canvas is going to be, what the venue is going to be to deliver this music. And then the music just comes for you in sort of an improvisatory way.
It is.
Yeah. I remember reading an interview with you where you talked about perhaps advice you would give to people is to know how you're going to do something or know what you're going to do. Even if you don't really know what you're going to do. I'm paraphrasing this in a terrible way.
No, that's all right.
But do you know what I'm talking about?
You know, I'm not sure that I fully believe what you just said.
Mm.
I mean, I believe I said it. But I don't... That sounds so... Oh, what's the word I'm looking for? It sounds so easy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's either... Either it's very easy, or maybe it's not worth working at.
Mm. Yeah,
I think that's closer to my real beliefs.
Well, I promise not to dredge out any more quotes from former interviews with you. I want to listen to a little bit more music, if you don't mind. I have some tracks here. And,
yeah. Great.
I think next we will listen to the track Agnes Martin, because we have that painting, right, that's coming in.
Sure enough.
And you want to introduce this for us, Scott? This is from Luxa.
Sure. It's an album that I first got when it first came out, and having worked in museums for a while, just the simplicity of tracks of music being titled with the names of artists, one of whom I knew and others who I admired, and that was such a profound thing. And for me, when I knew that the album was being re-released on vinyl, or the remastering by Toledo area mommy-based Tim Story doing the remastering, it was so exciting to know that was coming out, and that really was the catalyst for the residency here in Toledo. Was that album release, and to know that we had this beautiful painting by this woman artist, Agnes Martin, in our collection, it made sense for us to move it next to the Mark Rothko and to just have that as part of the conversation. So it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music, and I love that it connects with the museum and our collection.
Music of Harold Budd here on FM 91. We were having such a wonderful conversation off mic, luckily off mic, actually, before coming back on with that music. Music by Harold Budd. We heard Agnes Martin, one of his many works inspired by painters and their art. Harold Budd is appearing, I should mention, if you don't know, and if you haven't heard yet, you need to hear this. He is in town, appearing at the Toledo Museum of Art, Saturday, October 6th, a concert which includes a world premiere of music by Harold Budd. That's at 6:30 p.m. at the Toledo Museum of Art Peristyle. He's also doing a gallery talk Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. in Gallery 1 at the museum. And tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, he'll be giving masterclass, but really, as Kurt Doles here has described it, more of a conversation, a give and take with students, open to the public at Bowling Green State University. That is in, where is it?
That's in Kobacker Hall.
In Kobacker Hall. In the big hall. Okay, yes. On campus at Bowling Green State University. Harold Budd here with me in the studio, and I'm just going to brag a little bit. I was sort of describing what that music was conjuring up in my head, and Harold said that I was spot on. So, although, now, if I'd have said anything, would you have said that I was right, or was I really on the ball there?
Oh, you were certainly on the ball.
Okay. I appreciate that. I'm going to open the floor up a little bit here because, as I mentioned before, Scott Boberg from TMA and Kurt Doles from BGSU, they've had a long history with the music of Harold Budd, and they certainly know a lot more than I do. And Scott, do you have anything you want to put out there on the table for folks to talk about?
I think it would be great to talk about the world premiere that's happening on Saturday. And one of the reasons it's so exciting for the museum is that it's a six-part suite inspired by works of visual art. And just a couple of hours ago, we were able to share some of the work by those artists in the museum collection. So I'd love to talk about that.
Yeah, well, the title of it is Petit Souffle, or Little Breaths. Is that how you would translate that?
Exactly.
Okay. And this is for string quartet and celeste.
Yes.
And titled after six 20th century paintings. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this piece, Harold?
Happily. I initially had set out to make little short pieces, and thus short breaths.
Mm.
And my partner, companion, Elise Fahey, painter, who was working upstairs from me at the same time I was composing the piece. Well, I simply asked her, you know, how do you say this in French? And she said, petit souffle. And I said, well, that's bitchin'. I'll take it.
I'm going to quote you on that, if
okay.
you don't mind.
Yeah. And thus it is. So it is that.
Once again, the titles and the idea behind a work coming together, and then the music flows from that. Would you characterize that as sort of your process, or is it different every
time? I would. Yeah. I would, except in this case, I have to admit that I struggled.
Hmm.
Not painfully, like, not the 19th century nonsense about the struggling composer.
Right.
Getting pneumonia out in the wild. But it didn't just fall off my pen, as it were.
Mm.
So,
when you write, do you sit at a table and write pen to paper, or do you use?
Yes, I do. Yes, oh. I do. I do that, but I'm always running back and forth from the little Swedish keyboard I have.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a great ear, frankly. I don't have a great ear, so I have to go over and hear what I'm doing, for God's sakes.
Well, you have a great inner ear, I think.
Okay, well, that's nice of you to cover for me.
Definitely agree with that. But you're performing on this piece as well? Are you performing the Celeste, or how's that?
I am. Working? Because I just thought it was a great sound. I always did, and I use it a lot. And I really came to love this celeste sound, believe it or not, because of a recording I heard maybe in the mid-1950s by Sun Ra. And it was a solo celeste piece, and I thought it was just absolutely marvelous.
Both of these other guys are nodding their heads like they know exactly what you're talking about. Which is good. I'm glad that, you know, I'm the only one in the room that, you know, is running alongside the cart at this point. But Petit Souffle being performed with string quartet, along with Harold Budd performing his own music on the celeste. The string quartet, Scott, they're coming from Toledo Symphony, right?
That's
from
That's right. As you and I have discussed, and I think all the past four summers is coming out of that collaboration between the Toledo Symphony and the Toledo Museum of Art, there really has been this pool of performers led by Merwin Hsu, who's principal second violin and artistic coordinator for the symphony. Mm-hmm. He is the kind of creative mastermind. He's in addition to Kurt, he's my other kind of go-to person for music at the museum, and it really has been a joy working with him, and so it made sense to talk to him about supporting Harold as part of a quartet. And so we actually created the name the Tsoma, T-S-O-M-A. So it's a combination of T-S-O and T-M-A to really acknowledge that. So Merwin is playing, and Cheryl Trace from the symphony, Kalindi Belloc, who graduated from Bowling Green State University in the doctoral program on viola, and then Brian Snow, who's associate professor at Bowling Green, who's an amazing cellist. He's in the David T. Little's group, Newspeak, and has been involved with lots of recording. So it's this wonderful core ensemble.
Well, Harold, I'm sure you get the sense that there's a strong new music contingent here in Toledo.
Indeed.
And very well supported, not only by the museum. I mean, it's remarkable that you have the kinds of programs that you do, but also by the Bowling Green State University.
You know, where I live and where I have been living, I'm so isolated from that world that it's all imaginary to me. I try to pull it together in my mind, and it almost never happens. Hmm. But in this case, it is happening.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, that's great. I want to take you two gentlemen back, right? Because people who know Harold Budd and his music, many of them talk about it extremely passionately, including Kurt and Scott here. So, Kurt, I want to start with you. Just tell me a little bit about the first time that you were exposed to Harold Budd and his music.
I picked up an album, a record album, an actual record album, from a used record store that a friend of mine said, "Oh, you might want to listen to this." And it was one of Harold's albums called "The Serpent in Quicksilver," and it opens with this really absolutely. The first track just blew me away. It's a short 4-minute piece called "Afar." This Harold playing with a pedal steel guitarist and instrument inventor and all around bad man, Chaz Smith.
Harold is laughing.
He knows, collector of enormous Cadillac automobiles and heavy equipment. And it absolutely blew my mind, and I had to go and find out everything I could about Harold and his music, and it's been with me ever since. I think I was 16 years old at the time.
Yeah.
Trivia aside, footnote: I wrote a piece for when I was still writing a lot of music. I wrote a piece for strings and electric guitar, and Chaz played on the recording, and he used the same instrument. I insisted that he bring the same instrument that he used for
Wow. Okay, Scott. Well, I think I have an idea of you, because you've talked about, was it 1970s, early 70s? And you,
I think late 70s. I grew up in Southern California, Tower Records in West Covina, California. In this bin, the import section, it was a series. I took home not only the Pavilion of Dreams by Harold, but I took home Penguin Cafe Orchestra and Gavin Bryars' The Sinking of the Titanic.
Wow.
And that trifecta.
You were hardcore at that point, huh?
Well, there was something that was really appealing, the covers and the obscure music.
That's like a life-changing record buy right there. You don't look back after. You buy those three in the same. Yeah. That's it.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And just the combination of sounds and the sheer gorgeousness of the Pavilion of Dreams, the voices and the harps and the sax and the percussion, everything, that combination. I never really heard anything like that, and it was completely immersive and... There you go.
No. I want to play a track from Pavilion of Dreams. I think we have time here. And it speaks to the concert that's happening this weekend. You've got a couple of works, early works, opening the concert, right? Lirio and Candy Apple Revision. So those are, I guess, sort of a segue into playing a little track from Pavilion of Dreams. Scott, do you want to introduce this piece? Juno.
Well, I'm sitting here next to Harold Budd, so I'm going to defer to.
Well, I was going to let you introduce it and then see what he had to say.
Oh no, I would love to hear what Harold
if you want to talk about it, I would love to hear it.
We're going back in time a little bit, so I'm sorry if I'm a little vague, but I wrote it for John Bergamo, who very dear friend, recently passed, unfortunately. He wanted a piece for percussion ensemble. Hey, Hal, would you knock off a piece for us? And I said, oh, yes, I would. Yeah. And I did. That's it.
Well, let's listen to it. This is Juno. It's from Pavilion of Dreams, music by Harold Budd here on FM 91. By Harold Budd. We heard Juno from the album Pavilion of Dreams, a seminal recording for Harold Budd. Also for the other gentlemen in the studio here with me, Scott Boberg and Kurt Doles. You know, Harold, I will tell you a secret. I'm not really familiar with that particular piece of music, but when I was listening to it, in my mind's ear, I was thinking at the end, it's beautiful, but there's also a sense of something else going on here. It's getting a little, there's a little bit of danger, and then I got stabbed with those piano chords, those rolling piano things at the end. And
well, thank you, because I'm with you.
Yeah. You were talking a little bit while we were listening to it, and I'm always fascinated to hear from and watch an artist listen to their own music, especially a piece that you maybe haven't listened to in a while, this dating from the 1970s. But you started rolling off a list of names of the choir who were singing on that album. Can you recount for us who was involved?
Yes. There's Brian Eno, Gavin Bryars, Michael Nyman, and Joe Julian. Let's see. Who were there are two or three others, but...
Well, you were singing too, weren't you?
It was me as well. That's correct. Yeah. You're right.
You guys make quite a choir, I have to say. Come up with a name and go on the road with some of those. Well, Harold Budd is appearing at the Toledo Museum of Art. It's this weekend, Saturday evening, a pre-concert talk and performance, which is at 6:30 p.m. Now, is the performance at 6:30 or 7:30?
The performance is at 8 o'clock.
The performance is at 8 o'clock, but if you want the talk, you got to be there at 6:30, right?
That's
in
right.
The Paris style. Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock p.m. in Gallery 1 of TMA, there will be a gallery talk as well. And then tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, Harold will be down at Bowling Green State University with Kurt Doles, and we'll be having a conversation with students, and that's open to the public as well. Are you going to take audience questions then tomorrow?
Yes, I think that will be a big part of what we do, or at least some part of what we do, yes.
Yeah. Well, you were talking, Harold, a little bit about your music and your transition from being an avant-garde composer to a composer who writes the kind of music that we just heard, for instance. And I asked you if there was anything in your avant-garde past that kind of informed your sense of time and space and how you use music to portray that, and you said, no, nothing.
I'm afraid that's correct.
But can you talk a little bit about what does inform and inspire you musically?
I can't.
You can't?
I can't. Yeah. I know it when it happens.
Okay. So for you, it's kind of an unseen process in a way?
Oh, very definitely it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's so unlike so many artists that we know. And also, I mean, the fact that you've got three gentlemen here who are, you know, basically in awe that you're sitting in front of us and you're being so nice about it, I think that says a lot about your artistry as well.
Quite the contrary. These gentlemen are at the forefront of where I would like to have been. So
yeah. No. I have a little more music, but let's talk a little bit about your past, your sort of your journey, your musical journey, as it were. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's happened between the Pavilion of Dreams and where we are now. And I know Kurt could, you know, roll off your entire biography if he needed to.
Well.
But, you know, for people who may not be as familiar with Harold's work, I mean, can we talk a little bit about some of his musings, some of his accomplishments in that time?
Oh.
Anybody? I defer to you. Harold, you don't want to say anything about it.
Oh, I'm willing to say anything you want. I'm going any direction. I'm very happy about that.
Yeah. Well, when you have your pre-concert talk this Saturday, what do you want people to know as they actually come into the theater to hear your music?
Well, that's a hell of a question. I haven't a clue. I don't think they should necessarily be...
Have any expectations, yeah.
None whatever. I mean, listen, I'm listening to some music I've never heard before in my life. So...
Yeah, along with everybody else, huh?
Oh, exactly.
That's interesting. I don't think I've ever heard a composer talk about their music that way, or a premiere that way, right? And I mean that in a good way. It's really fascinating.
And to be in the moment like that is never a bad thing when you're on stage.
Well, and I think listening to Harold's music kind of demands the listener to be in the moment with the music.
I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah. I'm such a dud at analysis. This is absolutely true.
Well, you can leave it to everybody else to analyze.
I have to.
Because people are going to do that whether you want them to or not, whether their analysis is correct or not. I mean, that's what people do.
But it probably is correct. I mean, I'm a complete dumbbell. I mean, I don't know what's happening.
Kurt and Scott, I don't think they totally agree.
No. You know what I think is going to be remarkable about all of the events this weekend, and particularly the concert, and something that I've discovered that I really love about Toledo, having been here going on 5 years, is the kind of trust and openness that people have in the museum. You know, they love this institution, they love the city, and they love the symphony. And if you do something or you invite someone in that may be new to a lot of them, it's like they're on board. They're 100% with you because of that. And I think that everyone who comes who may not be familiar with Harold's work is going to have this remarkable experience. I mean, the level of enthusiasm that people have in this town for culture and music especially is pretty pretty amazing to me. So I'm looking forward to that experience of sharing this.
Yeah, definitely. Let me play a little track of music here, and this is also from the playlist that's happening this Saturday, I believe. This is from Avalon Sutra also. I'm not sure if you're doing it this Saturday or not. It's Arabesque number 3. That was on the playlist that you sent to me, Scott, so not sure if that is on there. But this is featuring John Gibson. Do you want to tell us who John Gibson is?
Oh, most certainly. He's one of the founders of the Philip Glass Ensemble.
Yeah.
And he's a longtime friend. I mean, a good 30 years plus.
Yeah. You have three of those arabesques on that album, and I know that...
I couldn't whittle it down to just one.
But you draw arabesques too, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I do, very definitely.
Yeah, so it's reflected in this music. Let's listen to the track, and then we'll come back briefly and talk again with Harold Budd here on FM 91. More music by Harold Budd, who is my guest this afternoon here on Afternoon Classics. We heard Arabesque 3 from the album Avalon Sutra, featuring John Gibson, the saxophonist. We've just got a little bit of time left, and I wanted to ask you about one of the other tracks that is on the playlist for the concert on Saturday evening, Harold. And you mentioned that this one had a very heartfelt dedication from you. It's called It's Steeper Near the Roses. Can you tell us about that?
Happily. First of all, the title comes from a dream, and it's one of those dreams that never goes away. My mother was, and I were trying to cross a fence or something on a hill. You know, dreams are always complete nonsense.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I thought, I remember telling her in my dream, well, it's steeper over near the roses.
Mm-hmm.
And it has no meaning at all, and apropos of nothing.
Yeah.
So it's a title. I kept it.
It must have meant something emotionally to you, though.
It must have, yeah. But I cannot call it up again. I don't know. Mm. But anyway, I was living in Silver Lake area of Los Angeles, and my piano was going away. I was sending it away. I didn't want to live with a piano in my house again, ever. And
wow.
I haven't since then. I thought, I better write some music. I better do something. And I wrote a string quartet for David Sylvian. I didn't have a title. But when I thought back on the dream, I gave it the title.
Yeah.
It's only 1 minute long.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
And it's I think, one of my best minutes ever. Honestly, I do.
Well, that stands up against a lot of minutes, I have to say. Well, that's wonderful.
But Sylvian is an artist whom I admire so much that it was so easy for me to dedicate something very, very modest to him. And I didn't know him at that time. We had never met.
Really?
And I just, I took a flyer. The hell with it. It's for Sylvian.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's wonderful. And you did meet him, though.
Oh, I have. Yeah. I have. He's and also a very, very, very lovely man.
Yeah. Well, there's so many things that we could continue to talk about, but the conversation will be continued tomorrow morning at Bowling Green State University, 10 o'clock a.m. Harold Budd will be talking with students. It's open to the public as well. That is on the campus of Bowling Green at the Moore Musical Arts Center in Kobacker Hall, right? And also appearing in residence at Toledo Museum of Art this weekend. Saturday evening, a concert, including that one-minute piece that we just talked about, along with a world premiere, Petit Souffle, for string quartet and celeste. Harold Budd will be performing. Wonderful opportunity to hear his music and watch him perform his music. And Sunday afternoon, Harold will be giving a gallery talk, participating in that. That's at 3 o'clock p.m. in Gallery 1 at Toledo Museum of Art. I want to thank not only Harold Budd for making the time to come in and spend some time with us today, but also Kurt Doles from BGSU and Scott Boberg from Toledo Museum of Art. And it's been a wonderful conversation. Wish it could have gone longer, but perhaps to be continued next time. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming in today.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Brad.
Listening to a little music of Harold Budd to take us out. Harold, still hanging around the studio, told me that this is one of his favorite tracks. Yes? Yes. More information at ToledoMuseum.org, by the way, if you want to find out more about the activities this weekend. I'm Brad Cresswell. Thanks for tuning in to FM 91 here at WGTE-FM Toledo, WGLE Lima, WGDE Defiance, WGBE Bryan. We're always online at WGTE.org. All Things Considered is coming up next here on your public radio station, FM 91.